Tonight, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, primarily verses 16 through 18. We'll probably want to back up and look at verse 14 as well, 14 and 15. That won't be on the screen, but you have your Bibles. We'll read 14 and 15 and then proceed into 16 through 18. Paul is writing to believers at the church at Corinth, his second letter to them. There's believed to be three letters, one lost. This is the second. He says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us by himself to Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And all God's people said, "Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for those who you have brought back. We pray for those who are traveling and who are away from us. Pray, God, that you would give them safety as they travel. Be with the young people as they meet tonight. God, we pray that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think would be for your glory and for your honor. Help us as we look into your word. Encourage our hearts with what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. And may we leave tonight with our hearts rejoicing that we are the children of God, reconciled to you. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake, amen. There was a writer who said that in our culture today, to profess faith is the same as possessing faith. Of course, we know that's not true, right? You can profess faith and not have faith. If that is true, then we cannot simply go on a profession of faith, right? And so what Paul begins to say here to the believers at Corinth is that if they by faith have trusted in Christ as their Savior and Lord, then they have also, by virtue of that faith in Christ, died with Christ. And if they have died with Christ, they have been raised with Christ to live not unto themselves, but unto him. Verse 14 and 15. If one died for all, then all are dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. So, Paul is saying here that if we have truly died with Christ and have truly raised with Christ, if we are in Christ, then he has made a difference in our lives. And it is something that will be noticeable not by just a mere profession, but it will be noticeable by our life, our conduct, our thoughts, and our attitudes. Amen? So I want to talk tonight about what a difference He has made in my life. And if you know Him, what a difference He has made in your life. And I want to do that three ways. Firstly, I want to talk about the change, because it says here that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. So I want to start by talking about a changed assessment. Or Christ, by being in Christ, Christ now living in me and in you by virtue of regeneration and justification, He has changed the way that we look at others, or He has changed the way we assess others. Now, if we are in Christ, we have begun a new walk in Christ. And Paul says that by virtue of his salvation, he has changed the way that he looks at people and makes certain assessments of people. Now, what does he mean? Well, let's look at the manner of assessment here that he talks about. He says, "Wherefore, henceforth, since we are dead in Christ and have been raised in Christ to live for Him and not to ourselves, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh." Now, what Paul is saying there, I think, is that since he has been converted, and since you and I have been converted, we are to no longer look at people simply from an external vantage point. You understand that? By virtue of his new life has come a new knowledge and a new perspective, a spiritual sight, a spiritual knowledge. And he is saying that we no longer see people purely from the outside. We no longer see people purely from the physical perspective. In fact, for believers, all of our assessments, all of our judgments, all of our thoughts toward other people were at one time all about physical appearance, right? Their behavior, their social orientation, their personality. That's how we evaluated other people. We typically evaluate people on how well they're nice to us. If they're nice to us, if they're kind to us, well, those are good people. Well, why are they good people? Well, they're nice to me. They're good to me. We normally evaluate out of an external situation. But Paul says, as believers, we can't do that anymore. You're introduced to somebody who is a very loving person, a very generous person. Everything about them charms you. And you go away, and there's a profound lingering question that should be in your mind that has nothing to do with their niceness or their graciousness or their charm that they have. What is that? The thing that we go away with is not their external things, but it is their spiritual condition. How is their relationship with God? That goes with everyone. Paul says, I no longer look at people in the flesh. I look at people from a spiritual perspective. And how often do we do that? How often do we meet someone and we leave there wondering about their relationship to God? Because we no longer see people purely in the flesh, we see them in their spiritual condition. And understand this, there's only two types of people, right? Those that are in Christ and those who are not. Those who are saved and those who are lost. You have a neighbor who is very kind. If you have an illness in your family, they're the first ones over there bringing you food and and supplying your needs. They do everything beyond the call of a duty of a neighbor. They show you love and they show you kindness. You feel, in response, attracted and affectionate toward the neighbor. And you would do anything for them, but there should be something in your heart that always asks you, wonder where they are with Christ. Wonder where they are spiritually in their relationship to God. Because we don't view people simply from their niceness or their graciousness or their kindness. We look at their spiritual condition and wonder where they are in their relationship with Christ. In other words, we don't take people at face value. I know people who will equate niceness to Christianity. They're nice, so they must be Christians. They're good people, so they must be Christians. But that's not necessarily true, right? You can be nice and not be a Christian. You can be kind and not be a Christian. And I think what Paul's trying to say here is that we just can't walk away from somebody saying they're really good people, they're really great people, I'm really impressed by them, and not be also at the same time be burdened about their souls. Let me say this. You have the same situation on the other side of the scale. You see someone who is a derelict. You see someone who is a bum. He's on the streets, maybe a drug addict or an alcoholic. And you just sort of want to push them to the side and say that these people, they need to be put off the streets. They need to take these people off the streets, get them out of our way. They're no good. Can we really do that by looking at their external situations, looking at their external problems? Can you, as believers, look at them and say that and have not one thought about their eternal destiny or their heart or their relationship with God? Paul says, I can't view people that way anymore. I can't look at people that way anymore. Since Christ has transformed Paul, he says that from that time on, I can no longer estimate people according to external worldly standards. No longer do I see people like I once saw them. And Paul saw people like he saw himself. You remember? He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. In the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, zealous for the law, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? He saw himself in a certain way, externally, but when he came to Christ, he said, all that's dung. He saw everything differently after coming to Christ than he saw before coming to Christ. So he says, you look at no one in the flesh, because the flesh is not important. Soul is important. Paul says, I don't see anyone that way anymore. That's the manner of his assessment. It's spiritual, not physical. It's spiritual, not external. And then he says this. Notice what he says. He says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So he talks about the manner of assessment, then he talks about his mistaken assessment. Now, Paul never met Christ until Christ met him on the road to Damascus, right? After the crucifixion and resurrection. But Paul had certainly made a certain assessment of Christ, had he not? And his assessment of Christ, his human assessment of Christ, the conclusion that he came to about Jesus as a man, Christ according to the flesh, was that he had created a tremendous amount of problems among the Jews because he had contradicted the law and the prophets, or at least they thought he had. He had intruded into their temple activities. He had at one time overturned tables, throwing out money changers. He was a rebel and a heretic, according to Paul. And he simply judged the human Jesus. He judged him as a man worthy of death, and he also deemed those who followed him worthy of death as well. And he did everything that he could to imprison those who followed him and have them killed. That was his assessment of Christ. He was a blasphemous heretic, deserving of death. That's how he assessed Christ. And he wound up knowing and determining he was dead wrong. It is a dangerous thing to make your assessments strictly on the external. And so Paul says here that he made a terrible mistake about Christ. That at one time he knew him in the flesh, but he knows him in the flesh no more. He's not just a man, he is God. And he judges him as being God and not just worldly, religiously, external standards. You know, if you're careful, your religion will cause you to look at people the way you shouldn't look at people. Amen? If we're not careful, we'll sit on our little padded pews in our little air-conditioned building looking at people in a way that we should not be looking at people. You with me? There was a time that I had a lady here. We were bringing in 80 kids on Wednesday night. And a lady told me, she said, "I can't believe we're bringing in that kind of kids. Dirty, smelly, apartment kids." That's what she said. "I can't believe we're bringing in that type of kid." We can sit here on our little religious soapboxes and look at people the wrong way. It doesn't matter where they live, what their mom and dads do or don't do, what their mom and dads are involved in or not involved in. They have souls and they need Christ. And we better stop looking at the externals and start looking at the spiritual needs of people, because that's what Paul says we should be doing. He said Christ, coming into him, Christ has changed his whole perspective on how he looks at notice not only a changed assessment, but look secondly at a changed addition. I'm going to get this one first, just mention it, and then we're going to hit the other one a little bit heavier. He says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." Don't view people in the flesh. View them from the spiritual aspect. "For we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So if we are in Christ, not only has he changed our perception of others, but he has added things to us that we had not before. We didn't have this before, but we do have it now by being in Christ. Question is, what did he add? Well, I think he added a heart, a new heart. We're given a new heart in Christ. And that heart gives us new desires. Say amen. Desires I did not have before, but desires I do have now that I'm in Christ. Now that I have died with Christ, now that I have raised with Christ to live my life for him, he has given me a new heart. So that I know that I am in Christ, not just because I say that I have faith, but because I know I have these new desires, these new appetites, these new inclinations that I didn't have before. I have these new truths that are wonderful and great that I didn't have before. new values that I didn't have before. You remember when you were saved? You had no desire to go to church, no desire to read your Bible, no desire to be around God's people, no desire to give any of your money to any money-hungry preacher and church. Somebody help me. But when God saved you, things changed. What you didn't have, now you do have, right? New desires, new inclinations. What in the world are we doing here on Sunday night? God put that in our heart when He saved us. I want to be under God's preaching. I want to be with God's people. That's the new heart. New appetites. New inclinations. This is all a product of the addition to us who are in Christ. We are new. New things have been given to us. New desires. And we have been given a new direction. Before I got saved, I was having such a good time heading in the wrong direction. When God saved me, He changed my direction. Do this. No longer am I heading toward hell, I'm heading toward glory. No longer am I heading trying to please myself, I'm now desiring to please God. No longer am I seeking things here, but I'm seeking things above. Amen? That's what happens when God gives you a new heart. He gives you new desires and He gives you a new direction. But let me say some more things here in process of that about a changed absence. Because He does say something strange here, doesn't He? He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new, but old things are passed away. And I know that way that's been preached and the way that's been taught, and I'm not sure that the way it's been preached and taught is correct. Here's the deal. There was a time when we were dead spiritually, right? And now we are alive. And because we are alive in Christ, living unto Him, we see people differently than what we saw them before. We don't see people just as people externally this or externally not this, but we see people's hearts and souls and needs of a Savior. We have been given new desires and new inclinations and new thoughts and new truths. But He says here, old things have passed away. I don't think that means that we don't ever sin anymore. Or at least that's not what it means in my life. Because I have sinned since God saved me. I don't even think that desires, old desires, are necessarily eradicated. God can, but I think we still struggle with those old desires and old sins we have in our life. I do think it means that these new desires and these new loves and these new inclinations and new appetites, I think they are nourished by the Spirit of God and they overwhelm and overcome our old selves so that we are transformed into the image of Christ. So what does it mean that old things are passed away? Let me give you my shot at what that means. I think that when we are saved by Christ through faith in Him, I think we begin a corrective reevaluation of everything. a corrective reevaluation of everything. Now, a lot of folks in independent Baptist churches say, now, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to give this up, right? You got to give this up, you got to give that up, you can't go here, you can't go there. You got to give everything up. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to give it up. Let me put it this way. If I were to tell you to go home, or imagine here we have a big table, biggest table in your house, take your dining room table, big table, your big table. Put everything on it that has value. Or write it down, put it on a list. Everything that has value, and then give it a value. On that table, you may have this and that, and this has so much value, and that has so much value. Let's put our jobs, our careers, our children, our houses, our cars, our boats, our campers, our friends, our computers, our dogs, our experiences, vacations, all of our possessions, your bank account, your savings account, your insurance, your 401k, your retirement, whatever you have in this life, it all goes on the table and it all gets some sort of value placed with it. Does that make sense? You may even want to put moral values, being honest or paying your bills on time or being upright, whatever you learn from your parents. Put everything on the table. Everything in your life goes on the table and gets a price. All right? Now, when you become a Christian, you think, right, somebody's going to tell you you got to throw all that stuff away. I don't think that's right. I think what's going to happen as soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you are in Christ, you're going to put new prices on the tags. Does that make sense? What you valued greatly before now will be devalued. Right? All of a sudden, everything gets reevaluated. Everything. You don't have to give up everything, but you will have to reevaluate everything. I think that's what it means here. Old things pass away. Old ideas, old values, old plans, old loves, old desires, old passions. Devalued. After conversion. You remember Paul? Was Paul any less zealous after conversion as he was before conversion? No, it was just redirected, right? He had new price tags. He had new values. Matter of fact, this is what he said. Everything that he depended on before he was saved was nothing but dung. He had valued it greatly before he got saved. After he got saved, he changed the price tags and said, it's dung. And all of a sudden, these new things that God put in his heart, in his new heart, became real valuable. Let me tell you my list before I got saved. Church, zero. Bible, zero. Prayer, zero. I'm confessing tonight. I know y'all weren't like this. Having fun, valuable. Amen? I had lots of things that I wouldn't want to tell you that I thought were valuable. But after you get saved, all of a sudden, church becomes valuable. Bible becomes valuable, prayer becomes valuable, God's people becomes valuable, and all the other stuff that you thought was valuable now all of a sudden doesn't have a lot of value. I can remember getting upset at the preacher because we were having church on Super Bowl Sunday night. I thought it was the stupidest, dumbest, unsensitive thing that anyone could do. Especially since the Dallas Cowboys were in the Super Bowl. That you're going to make me pick church or the Super Bowl. Now, after salvation, I began to see how devaluable, unvaluable the Super Bowl really is compared to church. Right? Now, what caused me to devalue that? Being in Christ. Being in Christ. You see, when God moves in, God makes a difference. Amen? When God moves in, God takes over. He starts rearranging furniture. He starts throwing furniture out. And He moves in. He takes up permanent residence. And He starts rearranging the house and puts different values on different stuff. Right? The point is that all the price tags in our life, all the things that we have put price tags on our life, change. And really, every value becomes reversed. Everything spiritual I thought had no value now becomes valuable, when everything I thought had value now becomes unvaluable. Amen? Old things pass away. Old things, you don't have to throw them away. You don't have to live like a hermit. But boy, what you got doesn't have much value in your heart. But godly things do. You with me? And let me say, this is a continual reevaluation. In other words, the price tags of the things that I thought real valuable before I got saved keep getting lower the longer I live. I keep having this markdown. Right? Because the next year, I wasn't sold. I mean, the Super Bowl didn't have that much value, probably because the Cowboys weren't in it. But it was still important. It's the Super Bowl. But each passing year, each continual reevaluation, it became less and less and less. So that the tags of things in my life just have these prices and these crosses through. And you have to turn it over on the back because the price keeps getting lower. The longer we go. The longer we're in Christ. To the point that there's not much value out there, is there? Not compared to God. Not compared to the things of God. I don't know anything. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know anything that even begins to compare with me being with God's people on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Nothing. Nothing. Right? Nothing. I don't know anything that compares with reading the Bible. Nothing. No, I don't do it the way I should do it. But really, there's nothing that can compare to it, right? Or praying, or whatever, in God's economy of things. I don't know anything here that can compare to anything God has for us there. Right? you know, that's the test, isn't it? Not that I profess faith, but that my faith in Christ has made a difference in me. So that any man in Christ now is a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, new things now become prominent. Amen? I want to guarantee you, if they would take a vote when I was dating Denise and going to church with her, they would have voted me the least likely to amount to anything. Amen? But they sold God short. They sold Him short. Because you know what it says? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There is no hindrances to anyone being changed by the grace of God. If any man be in Christ, he is, present tense, he is a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And everything that we have comes from God. Amen? For us to say, I profess salvation, is worth absolutely nothing. Right? Because I know some pretty loose-living people that profess to be saved. If you are in Christ, if you have died with Christ, if you have been raised to Christ to live unto Him, Paul says, you're different. And Paul said, what a difference he made in my life. I don't even look at people the same way. People are nice to me. People are kind to me. And I can't help but just be burdened for their souls. Right? You know, sometimes we say people, certain people doing certain sins make us sick. Paul would have never said that. Paul would have said, I'm burdened for their souls. Where are they with Christ? They need saved. Amen? It changes. Christ living inside of you changes the way you look at people. It changes who you are. You now have new desires and new directions. It changes what you value. Amen? That those things which were valuable before you were saved now are losing, they've lost value and they keep losing value. To where we'll have a clearance sale. Right? Isn't that what Paul? Who's buying dung? I've got a bunch of it for sale. There's no value. Well, I guess there is some value on dung. You have a garden. But you understand what he's saying. It's valueless. Everything that I thought that had value is valueless now that I'm in Christ. The question I ask, is that true of you? That you're not just professing Christ, but there is a clear difference that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has made in your life. And that is a continual process. Not so much we're getting better, but things that had value, things that had importance, are getting less valuable and less important. To the point that if we don't even watch the Super Bowl, who cares? Right? If these things I thought were important, I don't even go to anymore. Who cares? They're not valuable anyway, amen? What's valuable now is an entirely different set of things. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Dear Heavenly Father, would you bless the reading of your word, the preaching? May you use it to help us not only to evaluate ourselves, but to change our perspective on others, that we would not get caught up in external, religious, worldly standards, but God, that we would view all people according to their relationship with God through Christ. God, help us to know those new desires for the things of God are in our hearts, new direction pointing us in a different way, and that those things which were valuable and important are becoming less valuable and important every day in Christ. That's the difference that Christ makes in every believer. We have died with you, we have been raised with you, and we live unto you. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.